On this episode of Star Trek Universe, we are talking about Star Trek Prodigy 107, First Contact. Right after these words from our mystery sponsors.
I just got it. Welcome to Star Trek Universe, the podcast where you get to listen in on the continuing Star Trek conversation the two lifelong friends have been having since they were 6 years old. My name is Matthew Carroll.
I am David C. Robertson.
What is happening, Dave?
Dude, I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
I get that. I'm excited that you have a webcam. You just set up your webcam for the first time, and I'm excited about it because your entire room is covered in DC, and I love it.
Yeah.
And I've got my little bit of Marvel stuff behind me, and it looks very much like we've picked our sides.
But importantly, we've come together for Star Trek.
That's right.
Because that's like the one property that we love more than our respective comic book property universes.
Well, it's definitely a longer term love. I mean, I've always liked Marvel, you know, grew up on the comics, but
hey, to be fair, I do have an entire Marvel room.
Oh, I know. So. I know. I just think it's funny that you being the DC on screen guy, me being the Marvel Cinematic Universe guy, and now that we can see each other, like our stream rooms are like just so much there. It's very funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. All right, well, what have we got here? It's time to talk about Star Trek First Contact. That's so clever. I didn't get it at all. That's great.
It's not your fault. They screwed up the title card on the episode.
All right. Well, I like it. Good. I'm glad you knew that.
I was honestly a little confused because I watched the episode a little later than I should have, and I'd seen a couple of different outlets that I follow post their review, and it said Con-Tact, and I'm like, okay. And then like I watched it, and I was like, oh, I guess they were making the joke.
Yeah, yeah. When you said it, I was like, oh, did you come up with that, or is that a thing? That's a bummer. It's so funny that that's gonna like, so you know, it's like you ruin a joke when you explain the joke, or it's like the entire world of Star Trek fans is gonna watch this episode and then go to their respective podcasts or blogs or whatever, and it's gonna be like, wait, did you make that joke, or did the Star Trek make that joke? Wait, whose joke is that?
Yeah, they've already fixed it for Crave, but they haven't fixed it for Paramount Plus yet. So
okay.
From what I understand.
Well, another good little well-written tight episode of Star Trek Prodigy. This is the episode where Dahl bumps into Damon Nandi, a Ferengi, which we find out was the lady who raised him and also sold him, which we find out a little later in the episode. But the crux is she wants them with their stolen Starfleet vessel to help her on a mission to steal some crystals. And it turns out, of course, Janeway's against this. It's a first contact planet, and they go down, and the Nandi tries to steal the crystals, and they have to fight Nandi and get the crystals back. And it's actually really beautiful. Yeah. I love the last moment when they beam the crystal back. The way that they win is Dahl slaps his comm badge onto the crystal before Nandi steals it. And so they can beam it back. And when they do, they beam it directly into the cave. And I love the imagery of the Starfleet symbol sitting on the returned crystal. It's like the calling card of the hero that helped out, you know?
Yep.
It's very nice.
I dug that. And I liked that Janeway is mad at them.
Yeah, me too.
And blinks away. I really enjoyed seeing a little of Dahl's backstory. I liked that. I liked the revelation that she sold him to the Diviner.
Yeah, for sure.
What I didn't care for is how we got there, because, you know, it's not a huge deal, but it is always one of my little, like,
the convenience.
The convenience. The universe is very small.
Yeah,
they just
for sure
jumped. I don't however many light years they said last episode, and the first person they come across is Nandi.
Yeah, it's That's pretty silly. I completely agree, but I understand why, you know, they could have been a little better written, but I guess with this kind of story, I mean, like, he could have just gone to see Nandi. You know, they could have easily written it in so that, like, we can return back to the sector, a sector I know, or something like that, and then jumped there, you know?
Yeah, they could have done that. Yeah, that would have been cool.
Easily. But they didn't. Instead, they elected to just, like, of all the sectors, Dahl says.
Which, you know, it is a half-assed lantern hung, but...
For sure, for sure. the halfest of lanterns.
I have to bring this up, and I'm never sure if I should bring stuff like this up, but I keep doing it. I'm not getting complaints. So if you guys hate this kind of thing, let me know. But one of the things I continually saw from certain Star Trek, because I've got a bunch of, I follow a ton of Star Trek stuff and people on Twitter. And so Twitter will think, oh, he just likes anything related to Star Trek. So they'll show me these tweets from asshats. So many asshats saying, they just threw the continuity out the window. Like, they have a female Ferengi in charge. And I'm like, actually, as I push up the rim of my glasses, if y'all recall, there were several reforms when Grand Nagus, Zek and then Rom.
Oh, that's right.
When he became Nagus at the end of DS9, spoilers for DS9. it's been 30 years. Come on. but yeah, he put huge reforms into Ferengi society. So it makes sense that by now there would be a Ferengi Daemon who's wearing clothes.
Yeah. So we have to say, we don't want to erase her from history. Let's give credit to Mugi.
Oh, of course. Ishka, man.
Moogie. Oh yeah, so it definitely makes sense. Definitely makes sense here. Also, let's say there's still a hard time for women in the Ferengi society to some degree. Like, this is also on the outskirts of all that space, as far as we understand it. So this could be, you know, it could be a sort of pirate run off to the world where she can be a daemon or whatever. I don't know. There's always that possibility.
And, you know, I saw some people qualming with the fact that, you know, they still had the rules of acquisition, and it was kind of going in the face of what Rom was wanting to set up in the, you know, as far as the economics of Ferenginar going forward. But, you know, just like how they respond to, you know, like Krug and his crew on Star Trek 3. Yeah, they're renegade Klingons. All right, well, maybe she's a renegade Ferengi. Maybe she
still,
you know,
follows the old ways.
Right, all's about the old ways. We don't know.
I don't think there's anything in here that's too far afield.
She's a Ferengi Trumper.
Make Ferenginar great again.
Rom does not have the lobes for business.
Man, yeah, I great episode. The whole thing with Dahl and learning his backstory, and you know, we kind of knew that he was a liar with the stories he was telling Gwyn all along, but it was, you know, pretty confirmed this episode when she tries to ask him, oh, is this where you saw all those things you saw? And he's like, those things I told you. Right. Let's not talk about those things right now. I'm going to get busted.
Well, I know they're not going to do it because it's kind of a kid's show, but I would have loved if he would just been like, ah, come on, that was just pillow talk, baby. Yeah. Like Ash in Army of Darkness,
yes, you know? Yeah, it's very funny. Oh, man. Freaking, I recently rewatched Spider-Man 3, and like, I just didn't realize how much Peter Parker is channeling Ash a little bit when he's turned into, you know, the dark emo version of him.
Right.
He just walks up to the walks up to like the, I don't know, like the waitress or the hostess at some bar, and he's like, "Hey, long leg," or like, I don't know, I can't remember the lines, but it's basically like he just says those like misogynistic Ash like lines
to hey, all sweet the cheeks.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing, but it's very, very funny. And it just realizing that after, you know, knowing it's Sam Raimi, and you know, it's like, that's great.
That was my attempt to reference Peacemaker, by the way.
Oh yeah, are you watching?
Absolutely. I'm done. I'm caught up.
Good, good, good. We should do a Peacemaker spoiler section at the end of this. Are we done with Prodigy?
No.
This was good. Let's no, I'm just kidding. I think probably my favorite moment of the episode is when Gwen tells him, yeah, like you didn't get what you wanted out of this, but you know, learned who your friends are, and that's very valuable. And she, like him, learned that recently, learning that her father was willing to let her die. And that these friends saved her anyway. Which he wouldn't admit, but it, like, I forget, we I don't know if we talked about it in the last episode, but I think they admitted that Dahl is the one that went and saved her, even though Dahl said it was the captain's idea.
Yep.
So, but then she says this heartbreaking line. She's like, "I wish I could tell you it would feel better, but I don't know that yet."
Mm-hmm.
And man, that's tough. That's tough.
That's a fantastic line.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see that, Dreadnought or whatever his name is the one that, took down the Protostar.
Yep. 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 So how did it get from there? If Dreadnought was the one who took it down, or someone who looks much like Dreadnought, how did he get from there to being lost on this planet?
I mean, unless Dreadnought is like secretly working against the Diviner in some capacity.
Or the crew of the Protostar did some sort of discovery style thing and like beamed it into a middle of a planet or something.
Yeah.
Right as Chakotay and his crew could pull that off right as Dreadnought was about to take the ship, you know.
Captain Cheka said, "King me." That's so dumb.
It's so dumb. I like it though. So yeah, I'm really curious if we'll ever actually get to see what happened to the rest of the crew. Like what, like will we get a flashback of those moments that are on the hollow and see what actually happened after that, or what happened with Dreadnought and what happened to Chakotay and his crew? I would really like to know. And I feel like Chakotay is probably going to be found at some point, right? Probably.
I think they're going to find out that that crew was, you know what? That doesn't make sense. Never mind. I was like, oh, they're going to be slaves of the Diviner. And then like, I'm like, nah, it doesn't make any sense. Like, cause then they would just, you know, if he knew where they were, he would know where the ship was. So
possibly. That doesn't make any sense at all. He apparently knows it's inside the planet. So maybe he does know that they like did, but we just don't know what happens. That's the thing. It's like the pieces aren't fitting together yet, you know?
Well, I mean, because it would make sense if they were slaves of the Diviner now, and the Divine, but like Chakotay had Janeway move the ship after they were taken, you know, maybe they didn't know that Janeway was there, and then like he can't really torture it out of them. So maybe that would work, but I was just thinking it'd be great to have Gwen, like them have to go back and choose to go back to save that crew, even though they don't want to go back out of fear for their own safety.
Hmm. Yeah. That'd be cool. And just going back and like freeing the mines all together. Of course, I'm assuming the whole reason the mines existed was to find the Protostar.
Maybe.
At least that's what I've been assuming. And I don't like, why is his main mission is to find the Protostar, and now he has set up this entire like colony of miners that he has enslaved so that he can find something. And yes, they did look like they were like removing rocks and stuff, but I guess that could be like a side business, or he's selling, you know, selling off rocks so he can buy more slaves so he can keep digging down to try to find the Protostar.
It's rock trafficking.
Yep, It was the character. I love my favorite line in this whole episode was the "Who said we have the Chimerium?" Dahl says, "Who said we had the Chimerium?" After Rock mentions it, and then Jankum Pog just like, "Rock did just now." I like Jankum Pog a lot. Good character.
I love Jason Mantzoukas, mm-hmm. who plays him.
For sure. I loved all the gags with the transporter, but I also love that it was a setup for the end of the episode. Like, if a person's mm-hmm. watching this for the first time, they don't know the idea of that you can put a comm badge on something to locate it. And so they did that with the pie at the beginning, which was really funny. It's still hot! Mm-hmm. And then they do it with Murph, and I really want a toy Murph with a floating comm badge in the middle. That's super funny.
Let me ask you this. Did Jankum Pog pick up that pie and go, floor pie? Did he say that? Like, I'm remembering he did.
I did not hear him say, floor pie. No.
Okay. Because I know I thought when they were, when he picked up the
maybe
floor.
Maybe he did. I don't remember. When he
picked up the pie off the floor, it reminded me of The Simpsons.
does he say floor pie? I remember that from something.
They said it on The Simpsons, like, floor pie. But
I didn't hear Jankum Pog say that, but it's possible.
Maybe he didn't say it. Maybe I'm just remembering him say it.
I have to go back. That's funny.
That's good. It's been so long since I've binged The Simpsons, man. I need to do that.
Yeah, it's been lots of years for me too. There's a lot of like stuff in this episode about like Dahl and who he's going to choose to be. He clearly has like a checkered past with this Damon. Who like
a checkered past, you say?
yes, I did. I will avoid that word in the future.
I would make another checkers reference, but I know chess, not checkers. So I don't know.
I feel like that's about all the checkers references there are. Is me? I don't think there's much else to that game.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's pretty low key, man.
Pretty
there's
linear.
Not much to it.
Yeah. for those of you who didn't listen last week, that was Dave's nickname for Chakotay when he was a young teen on the message boards.
Yeah. Well, I was like, the joke was, if Riker was playing chess, Chakotay's playing checkers, because he was just such a one-dimensional character.
Right. But then also his name kind of sounds like Checkers.
Yep.
Chakotay.
Oh, I never put that together.
It's good. Good nickname there.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll end with the idea that this Damon is turning them over to the Diviner. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing this season's about to ramp up. I know we've only got a few episodes left, so sounds like they're going to close in on things.
I'm generally very confused about how this is supposed to be playing because, you know, it had a lot of episodes listed for season one. And let me see what I'm looking at Memory Alpha right now. So it says it goes up to episode 10 and then they're going to break for Picard and then episodes 11 through 20 will come on later. So, I don't know. 20 episodes is kind of a lot for a season, but we don't have a lot for the before the break.
I'm digging it, and this was a fun episode. It was funny. It was fun.
Not nearly as mind-altering and wonderful as last week's.
Yeah.
They're not going to outdo Kobayashi.
Yeah, not for you particularly. Like, that's your very much your style of episode. I liked it, but I like this one a lot, too. I don't know that I... I loved Kobayashi for all the references, but just from like quality of the episode, I really like this one. Mm-hmm. I've liked all of them, honestly. They're really good.
Yeah. I mean, I have like three main styles of episodes that I really love, and Kobayashi is one of them. I do love the big moral quandary episodes, mm-hmm. but I also like the Twilight Zone, what the hell ending. Yeah. I love that. And by the way, on this episode, I loved the design of those frequency aliens. I thought it was like, yes, mm-hmm. this is everything I love about science fiction.
Yeah, for sure. That was beautiful. I love the acoustic Terra manipulation or whatever she calls it.
Mm-hmm.
That's super cool. And I love the song as their gift. That's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Like, and I don't want an effing song, man. Give me a bobble.
Need a bobble. Well, that's about all I got to say about that episode. I feel like it's pretty, definitely setting up Dahl as an even more interesting character, giving him a cool backstory, you know, raised by pirates, basically, as it were.
Yeah, I was a really big fan of it looked like a little board cube, but it was, I think it was called Pic-Poc or something. The little assistant.
Yeah.
Naughty head.
That she compares to Dahl, like, yeah.
Better because he doesn't talk as much or something.
Yeah, his mouth doesn't get in the way, which I was wondering what she meant by that. Like, did he talk her out of things? Did he have too much of a moral compass? Did he help people that she wanted to steal from? You know, I don't know. He definitely seemed to not trust her. He definitely seemed to know that things she had done back in the day were not right, you know?
Yeah.
How young was he when he lost his parents? Young enough that he doesn't remember what they look like. We know that.
Yeah. I think that's true.
Yeah. Because in that that one episode that he couldn't remember, they could only draw in his memories, so he could see them from behind, but couldn't actually like see his parents.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, that's about it. You sure you don't want to say about, you don't want to do a quick like Peacemaker spoiler section?
If you want to do a Peacemaker spoiler section,
I just want to hear what you think about it. That's fine. I just want to hear what you think about it.
That's fine.
What do you think of Peacemaker?
I enjoy it. I've enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely great. That intro, man, I can't.
Yeah.
That intro I can't get enough of.
Yeah, the Wigwam intro is fantastic. I don't know. I love that we're dealing with Amanda Waller's daughter.
Yeah.
I like how she gets kind of like taken aback and a little defensive quietly. Every time they're talking shit about Waller.
Mm-hmm.
I love Economos.
Yeah.
I was just reading an interview where Steve Agee said that during the Suicide Squad, when they were about to do it, like Gunn made him dye his beard. And he was like, okay, that's kind of funny for the character, I guess. I don't know why we're not talking about it at all in this movie. I don't understand. And also, I have to like look like this in my everyday life. And everyone thinks like, does he know? And I'm like, yes, I know. I don't know why we're doing this. And apparently it was all just a setup for Peacemaker.
That's funny. That's funny. Well, I didn't think he had the idea for Peacemaker till after they made the movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, supposedly the way I'd heard the story was that when COVID hit, James Gunn just like had all his stuff he had to film got shut down. So he just had a bunch of time on his hands. And he's like, what am I going to do with all this time? And he just like wrote Peacemaker.
I've heard that too. And I wondered if during the edit, like if they had had maybe he had had like an idea for a joke in there, or if he just thought it was a funny thing to do to the character to have the character just be this way. Torture
Steve Agee.
Yeah. And so I don't know if there was foresight into something else that might be fun, but
yeah. It's really just a great show. And I agree. I'm really excited about Amanda Waller's daughter character because she's really, I don't know, interesting. And so far I really trust her and I'm on her side, but I also know that she has some sort of secret with Amanda Waller, but she also seems to not want to be a part of her mom's life.
Mm-hmm. Even though she clearly is enjoying
what
she's doing.
Oh, like,
she's into it.
Very, very into it.
And I'm interested to see how she moves on going forward because she's never killed anyone until now. You know, she just had to kill that guy.
Wait, which guy did she kill? I'm spacing.
The guy who was like not a butterfly, who was like the bodyguard, I think.
Talking about, oh, she didn't kill him.
She didn't kill him?
No.
I thought she killed him.
No, she was supposed to. She had a gun on him. And the blonde partner of hers or whatever, like, rolls over and shoots him.
Gotcha. Okay.
She had to take the sample or whatever. So she does have to walk over and, like, stab him and get a sample to see if he's a butterfly.
Yeah. That was messed up.
It was real messed up. There's some real messed up in this show. If you guys are enjoying it, I'm hoping we get Dave on this next week. But we're covering it over on Pandavision in depth every week. I'm just absolutely loving Peacemaker. I think it's great.
Yeah, and I can't help but think, like, the bit about the fur babies, like the one that is wearing the outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because there's a line in there where the blonde lady, I can't remember her name for some reason, says Harcourt.
Yep, that's it.
She says to her, she's like, it doesn't love being dressed up. It loves the, do you pet it when mm-hmm. you dress it up? Yeah, well, she's really cute. That's what they want.
She's willing to debase herself for attention.
So it just sounds like it's talking about her. She doesn't love what she's doing. She loves being given attention by her mother.
Interesting you go there. I was thinking it reminded me of the line earlier in the episode that Mern talks about Peacemaker and says he's dumb, he's crass, he's rough around the edges or whatever, but he has a strong need to be liked, so we can use that. And that reminds me of that a lot. And maybe it's both of them. Maybe, you know, but honestly, it's kind of everybody, right? Like that's everyone in the world, at least in my opinion, like wants to be part of community and they want to be liked for some degree. And so they do the things they have to do to be liked and be not ostracized from community. And so like, yeah, that line about the dog is kind of prescient, but it's also like, you know, prescient in the face of every character. But I'm very interested. Her mom says the line, she says, don't look away from your God-given or don't waste your God-given gifts or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are her God-given gifts? Like, is she a badass and we just don't know yet? Is she super manipulative like her mother? Does she have superpowers? Like, what is the, you know, what's the thing with that character? I'm super excited to see.
Yeah, I just assumed that she was just really friggin' good at her job.
Really good at booking hotels and such. I mean, she knows where they have all the best mozzarella sticks.
Well, you know, she was supposed to be a bigger deal than she is. Like, because they had that whole bit where she was, she had done some kind of training or something at 14 and was the only person to do whatever, and then hadn't done anything since.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. No, I don't think it was I don't think she was the only person to do it or anything. She does say, I did the something, something training when I was 14, as if it's like a badass thing, which it probably was because her mom probably put her through some sort of really good, tactical training or something because she is her mother's daughter and is likely to be in danger. But then it sounds like she hasn't really followed up with it. She's not like continued to improve. She's just like a secretary or whatever, you know, lower level agent that's like working, like as I just said, like booking hotels and stuff. So what is, I'm interested. I feel like that line is that was dropped by Amanda Waller is not going to be, is not going to go amiss. There's some sort of skill set that she has or just like natural proclivity for this kind of work that is, she is eventually going to express. But I also love, there's also the like clear duality between her and her mother and Peacemaker and his father. You know, like they're both looking at their parents and going, and their parents are both like pressuring them into doing the things that they're doing to being a part of this life. And they both want to be apart from it for different reasons. You know, Peacemaker saying like, oh, I'm not a racist like you, Dad. You know, I'm not the white dragon. I'm Peacemaker. I'm here to do good thing. I'm here to bring peace. And then, I mean, she thinks her mother is probably doing the right thing, but she still doesn't want to be a part of it because of the methods, I guess. I don't know. I'm interested. I hope we really get to dig into that. I love how silly and over the top and like crazy the show is, but I really hope they like dig into all those like character things.
I think they will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got eight episodes and there's only three out so far. So
yeah,
long way to go. I'm pumped. And that's like, that comes out the same night as Star Trek. So yeah, every Wednesday night those drop. So
yeah, I'm excited just, to see the next. You know, hey, I'm like Billy Squire over here. I'm stroking. You know,
yeah, we'd love to have you this week if you can come on and talk about it.
Yeah, man,
freaking awesome show.
I have a question for you though.
What's that?
Did you hear about this Quantum Leap shit?
No.
NBC has greenlit a pilot for Quantum Leap, and is set 30 years after Sam Beckett disappeared, and involves a new team breaking it back open, pulling the old project out of mothballs, and trying to figure out, you know, how it works. Like, Scott Bakula is already talking about coming back.
Yeah, I would assume he probably would.
You would hope.
As a guest star, if not the main star.
Yeah, I would hope. But yeah, man, I want to tie up those loose ends. I want to figure out what the deal is with those evil leapers. And
Right? Yeah, for sure. Oh, that's so cool.
That bartender god guy at the end of the show, like
sounds like we have a new podcast to do.
I know, right?
I was
thinking about that earlier.
Absolutely, do like a full on Quantum Leap podcast.
Yeah, and I knew that I was going to say something to you about it, and you would suggest that.
Yep.
And then I was actually entertaining it like hours ago. I'm sitting at the library working, and it comes across the wire that Quantum Leap is happening. And all of that shot through my head in an instant, and I chuckled to myself and went, oh boy.
Yes. All right. Well, on that note, Joel Untrue.
Live long and prosper.
Thank you for listening to the Star Trek Universe Podcast, a Stranded Panda production. If you'd like to hear more from David C. Robertson, check out the DC On Screen podcast or maladjusted.tv for his web videos. If you'd like to hear more from Matthew Carroll, check out the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast or listen to his music. Just search for Matthew Carroll anywhere you get music.